Happy New Year! Welcome to 2024 and welcome back to Kidman Talk. This is Carl Bastian coming to you from Kidology.org and welcome to Kidman Talk number 186. Now, whether you're listening to this during the first week of 2024 or any time that you happen to be listening to this, we're going to be talking about how to get a jump start on the new year. But even if it's not the new year for you, we're going to be talking about how to get a jump start, how to get ahead on prioritizing what matters most to you. Time management is one of the most important things that we need to conquer in leadership, that we need to conquer in children's ministry. So we're going to talk about how I approach goal setting and just conquering the things that I need to get done, because it's the most important thing. Well, no, spiritually it's not the most important thing, but it's one of those things that if you don't get a handle on it, you're going to be like a pinball machine bouncing around from task to task, always reacting to what everyone else is telling you to do. And at one point or at some point, you got to get a handle on it. So let's talk about getting things done here on Kidman Talk. All right, so welcome to the new year. I'm so glad to be back. Obviously, one of my New Year's resolutions is to get back to the podcast. We'll see how that goes, because it has been a crazy busy season for me. Obviously, I've not done a podcast in a little bit of a while, and it's because I've been super busy myself. I've been getting things done. The podcast has slipped off of the priorities for a while, and it's all for good reasons. Give you a quick church update. Our church has grown over 30% in the last year. In fact, this Sunday, January 7th, we are adding a third service. So we have been super busy preparing for that, been recruiting like crazy, been doing some leadership restructuring, adding some new leadership positions. So I've been working the phones, working the emails, working on some fun and new ways to give orientation to our volunteers. In fact, if you want a little sneak peek, not really going to put this on Kidology just yet, but if you're listening to the podcast, I'll let you in on it. If you go to highpointchurch.us/kids/Ranger Roger, you can get a little sneak peek at a new way that I'm going to be giving training and orientation to my volunteers. I'm taking the animation that we use in our IT Bible curriculum, and I'm creating fun animated videos to give orientation to our volunteers. So you'll meet Ranger Roger, and you'll see the short videos that we're going to be creating. There's only three up there right now, the introduction one, and then our trail guides and our first impressions guides. And as Ranger Roger inside the outpost is providing training to our volunteers, because as we're adding new volunteers, I need a way to give them an orientation and some fun training in a way that's just attractive. Instead of me just setting up a camera and standing in front of our set and talking, I wanted to make it more, you know, just fun and engaging and fun, you know, so it wasn't just me. And so you can check that out, and I'll be adding more videos as we get going. And anyway, it's kind of a little glimpse into a creative way that I'm trying to make the on-ramping of our volunteers and the ongoing training of our current volunteers maybe a little bit more effective and just a little more engaging for our volunteers. On a personal update, some of you have been following my life and ministry for many, many years, and I know many of you remember way back 18 years ago when my son Luke entered our life. His adoptive story is a really cool story. I'm not going to get into it right now, but I just have to tell you, this month Luke turns 18 and is going to become, at least legally, an adult, a man. So that's pretty amazing. We're pretty shocked by that. But his birthday is going to be on the 21st of this month. If any of you want to send a birthday greeting or whatever, The Kidology address is on our donation page. If you want to send him a birthday card, I'm sure he'd be shocked and would enjoy that. You're welcome to send him a birthday card. You could do that, and I'm sure he'd love to get a birthday card from someone who's been following his journey and his miracle story through Kidology. That would be really cool. It'd probably make his day. As far as Kidology updates, nothing really big right now. There's always stuff in the works that I'll be announcing down the road. But one quick fun one, if you follow me on Facebook, I got a 3D printer for Christmas. I've been having a lot of fun with that. And one of the things that it doesn't lend itself great to podcast, but when I was in junior high, seventh grade, I made something called the Impossible Block. And it was an object lesson that I came up with. I might have seen it somewhere. So I don't know if I invented it or recreated it. But I spent so many iterations creating a block that would pass through a circle, a triangle, and a square hole. And it was really hard. I had to hand make this on a jigsaw, and I can't remember if I used a lathe. I don't remember, but I just have this shape, and it's a really cool, odd shape. And so then I had a piece of paper with a circle, a triangle, and a square circle, and I laminated it. I've had it for years, so it's in really kind of poor shape. And I've had it in a box for years. I've taught with it for years, called the Impossible Block. And then I talk about how it says twice in Scripture, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then I've used it to illustrate the Trinity, because God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And people have always wanted one, and I've been like, I can't make these. But I finally, with a friend's help, who also has a 3D scanner and a 3D printer, had been able to recreate this. And so I made a special offer on Facebook that as we needed some funding, year-end giving, as we're a nonprofit, anyone who donated at least $50, I would make them one. And so that's on my Facebook page. And we sent out a newsletter last week of the year. And that offer's still out there. Several people took me up on that, enough to pay for the 3D printer, which was a real blessing, because we're looking forward to creating some other fun products and object lessons with the 3D printer. And so I'm excited to send some Impossible Blocks out to some of you. If you want to get in on that, go for it. Check it out on my Facebook page. And I'm going to be sending some of those out. I'm also going to make a video demonstrating the lesson and how to do that. So that's pretty cool. The series I'm starting to teach this Sunday is Ancient Scrolls. It's a really cool series on how to use the Bible, where the Bible came from, and that's from It Bible Curriculum. And you can learn about that at kidology.org/ancient-scrolls. But enough of all that. Let's dive in quickly to our topic for the day, New Year's strategies, or I think I'm going to title this podcast, Getting a Jump on the New Year. Hey, I just want to start out by saying, don't belittle new beginnings. I do have some friends who are kind of, you know, against New Year's resolutions. They kind of poo-poo them, and hopefully they're not listening to the podcast. I'm totally get it. I totally fine with people who do that. Personally, I think that attitude comes from the discouragement of New Year's resolutions, you know, not lasting, or people trying it and finding that they don't stick with them. To me, that's no reason not to make them. I say, even if you succeed for 3, 4 months, 6 months, you're going to be that much better. You're going to form new habits. Sometimes I think that comes from setting unrealistic New Year's resolutions or unrealistic goals that don't last, or people, you know, buying exercise equipment that they never use, or a membership to a gym that they never use. And so eventually they get discouraged, and so they just give up on the whole concept. I love the new year. I love taking the last week of the year and setting goals and setting things out and evaluating and planning, making these lists. And do I always stick with all of them? Of course not. But that's why I do it several times during the year. I actually do this again in the summer. I'm like, okay, how am I going to make the summer Amazing. What am I going to accomplish this summer? I do it again in the fall. I'm like, all right, the fall's a new chance. So I don't just do New Year's resolutions. I do summer resolutions. I just don't call it that. I do fall resolutions. I just don't call it that. And so this is something you have to be constantly doing your whole life and throughout your ministry. And so New Year's kind of gets a bad rap because maybe that's the only time people do it. And so 12 months is a long time. But I think it's healthy. And I think it's good to use these opportunities that the calendar provides to say, hey, how can I improve? How can I do better? And so use this time to evaluate, hey, how was last year? What can I do better? What did I do great at? Be sure to celebrate the wins. Don't just beat yourself up over the stuff that you did poorly at, whether it's in health or whether it's in finance or whether it's in the ministry. And then look at what can you eliminate? Where did your time suckers go? One of the things I had a boss do years ago, and you can do this, is measure what you. Where your time goes. He actually had us, he gave us a calendar that was a Monday through Friday with 15-minute increments and required us to write out what we did every 15 minutes for an entire two-week period. At the end of it, he actually didn't make us turn it in, which was pretty cool. But he just wanted us to look at and think about where our time went, whether it was on phone calls or whether it was on email or just where our time went, and then to evaluate that time. And that's a healthy exercise. And then to eliminate maybe what are the time wasters or what are the things that we can delegate, what are the things that someone else could do. And then to set some goals for the year. Now, I'm going to be a little radical or a little different than a lot of coaches. There's a whole thing on SMART goals. And I'm not against SMART goals. If you're not familiar with that acronym, SMART goal is that a goal should be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based, all right? And I've taught on this before. It's probably in some articles or books that I've written. It needs to be measurable, right? I always use the example of setting a goal that I'm going to love my wife more is not a goal, all right? Sounds great. But how will I know if I actually love my wife more? So you make it specific, all right? I'm going to buy her flowers, all right? Oh, that's a great goal. Well, someone could go ask Sarah, hey, did Carl buy you flowers? And she'll say no. And say, well, it was specific, but it wasn't measurable because if you came and said, hey, how come you haven't bought Sarah flowers? Say, well, I just haven't done it yet. I was waiting till Valentine's Day. And so it needs to be measurable. I'm going to buy her flowers by Valentine's Day. It needs to be achievable. Now, achievable is good because flowers aren't that expensive, right? If I had said I was going to buy her a Mercedes, that probably would never happen, all right? And then it needs to be relevant, all right? It needs to be something she would actually like, all right? Because if I said I was going to buy her a drone, all right, that's something that might make me feel good. We could go fly drones together. It'd be so romantic. But she's probably doesn't want a drone, so it wouldn't be relevant to our relationship. And then it needs to be time-based, all right, where you set a deadline to it so that when the deadline comes, if I haven't done it, then I have failed my goal. Now, I love SMART goals. There's nothing wrong with SMART goals. But one of the downsides to focusing on SMART goals, if every goal has to be specific and measurable and achievable and relevant and time-based, what I've found in practice in my own life and in coaching is that what happens is people end up not setting goals because the actual task of goal setting becomes unrealistic. And so people end up with like 3 to 5 goals because every goal, they're like, it has to be specific, it has to be measurable, it has to be achievable, it has to be relevant, it has to be time goal. And it's so much work to set goals that they just don't bother. Or they reach some of their goals and then they quit. Now, I know you're supposed to set new goals, but they just... The task of goal setting becomes so overwhelming that they just end up just life's just too busy. And so I like to simplify the process. There's an old story about a guy who was driving down the road and he happened to see a barn, and on the side of the barn he saw all these targets with an arrow right smack in the middle of the target. And he's like, man, whoever lives here is an amazing archer. So he pulled off the road, went into the farm, knocked on the door, and the old farmer came to the door, and he said, "Sir, I'm sorry to bother you. I just have to ask, you know, did you shoot those arrows in those targets?" He said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Well, I'm sorry, but can I have a demonstration? I do a little archery, but, you know, I'm nowhere near as good an archer as you." And the farmer said, "Yeah, I'll give you a demonstration." So they went out to the side of the barn, and the farmer grabbed a bow and grabbed an arrow, and as he was getting ready to shoot, the guy was like, "Well, I don't see a target. They've all got arrows in them." He was wondering where he was going to shoot, but the farmer just shot the arrow, and doing, it just went into the side of the barn. Then the farmer went into the barn. He came out with a ladder and a bucket of paint, and he set the ladder up, and he climbed up with the bucket, and he proceeded to paint a target around the arrow. So he just shot the arrow, and then he painted the target around it. So the point is that some people, that's what they do with life. They just shoot a bunch of arrows, and then they paint the targets around it. Now, you could argue that there's a side of that that's, you know, you need to try things, and some things you're going to find you're good at, and then that becomes your target. But the saying is, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it, right? Well, what we need to do is we need to know what we're aiming at. So I came up with a little acronym for how I kind of set my goals. It's a little simpler, but it's just an AIM acronym. The A just reminds me that I need to set goals, and they need to be actual. All right. So you can just write down the word actual. What that means is I make some goals for my year or even for my week. Every week I start my week out aiming, and I actually just write down, what do I need to accomplish this week? And then I write them down. It's a to-do list, and I schedule them. All right. Because if you don't write something down, it's not going to happen. It stays in that dream desire stage. Most people live their lives in the desire dream stage, all right? 90s, or the experts say 97% of people stay in the desire dream stage of life, and only 3% actually do it, all right? And that's because they don't write it down. They don't actually schedule it. So your beginning of your week, you just schedule it. You say, if you're going to work out, say, "I need to work out more," you schedule it. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You just put it on the calendar. Now, it may not happen. That day may come and you don't get to it. But at least when you don't do it, you know you didn't do it. And so if you use a digital calendar, you drag it to the next day, or you drag it to next week. But that mental act of moving it, you're telling yourself, "I didn't get to it. I didn't do it." And it creates an accountability, creates a nudge of regret, a nudge of, I hate to say guilt, but maybe a little bit of guilt. Because if you do that 4, 5, 7, 8 times, eventually you're going to do it because you're getting tired of moving it, and you're eventually going to do it. If your goal is to write a book, you're going to schedule the summary of the book. Write the title of the book, you know, chapter 1, chapter 2, editing. You're going to literally just make a list of what are the stages of writing the book. You know, you're going to schedule the chapters of the book. You're going to say, "On Monday of this week, I'm going to begin chapter 1. And then you schedule 2 days later, "I'm going to continue working on chapter 1. Break it down, spread it out, but you actually schedule it. You actually list it, so it becomes part of your real life. That's the first part of aiming, is to make it actual. The I is simply, you got to get it in front of you, all right? You got to put it where you will see it, all right? Another I could be, it's got to be in your face, whether it's post-it notes on your mirror, all right? Whether it's reminders in your phone, where you just tell Siri to make it pop up and come up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all right, where, you know, figure out what your downtime is, all right? You figure out what in front of you means, all right? Whether you're going to use Trello and you're going to have some lists, whether you're going to use Basecamp or Asana, I like a physical calendar. I tweeted this week the calendar that I buy every year, because I like simplicity, but I like handwritten. And so I start my week out, planning my week, scheduling my week, listing my things. And so I want it in front of me, and so that I know what it is. And, but you got to get it in front of you. So it's got to be actual, where it's written. You got to have it in front of you. And then the last one is, you've got to measure it, all right, so that you can actually check it off. You know, a lot of people do to-do lists. But it's good to have a ta-da list, a ta-da, ta-da. It sounds funny to say it, but you got to have a check. You got to have a list that you did. If you ever finish your day feeling like, man, I didn't get anything done today, that's because, you know, you're reacting to people, you're answering emails, you're, you know, responding to things that people dropped by your office and gave you to do, whether that's a spouse, a boss, coworkers, whatever, kids. Keep a list all day of the things that you got done, even if they weren't on your to-do list. Just make part of your calendar, or can be a spiral notebook. And as you do these other things, just list them. Write it and put a check mark in front of it. Because then at the end of the day, you can at least go, man, look at all these things I got done. Someone calls you on the phone and you end up helping them, just write their name down and then put a little dash and put what you helped them with. Because at the end of the day, that's a to-do list that you got done. It may not be a to-do list that you predetermined. It may not be a to-do list that you had a lot of control over, but it's still a to-do list that you got done. And it also gives you something for reporting, because sometimes there be a situation where you end up needing to talk to a boss, or you need to be able to answer why you didn't get something done. And you're able to say, well, here's what I was doing today. You know, I had 8 calls that came in and I had to resolve these issues, or we had this computer problem and I had to resolve this, or the printer broke down and I was changing the toner. You know, you've got this list of accomplishments that you got done that day. And so it helps you to know what you got done. So don't make it complicated. Don't overthink it, but make sure you aim at what you want to get done and figure out a system that works for you. A lot of times people want to know my system and they'll copy my system, then it won't work and they'll blame my system. So you got to figure out what the system is for you. But I can tell you, if you don't have a system, you won't accomplish anything. So it's worth the time. It's worth the effort, even to try a couple different systems. But when I'm coaching people, I'll ask them, what's your system for getting things done? And if they don't have one, then I know exactly why they're not getting things done, or why they're feeling like they don't have a grip on their ministry. It's because they're not aiming. They're not making goals. They're not making them actual. They don't have them in front of them, and they're not measuring what they got done. Sometimes it's just a matter of counting things and knowing, you know, how many times did you work out this week? How many chapters in the Bible did you read? How many phone calls did you make? How many recruiting calls did you make? For this third service, I've had to make hundreds of phone calls. Most are voicemails, most are no's. But I know I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want comparisons. But for here, I know how many calls I have to make and how many no's I need to get a yes. So even as I'm getting those no's, I know how many no's I have to get through to get a yes. So even as I'm going through those no's, I know I've got this many more no's before I get a yes. So the no's are encouraging, because I'm getting through the no's to get to my yes. And as you make those calls, you're going through the formula. Figure out that formula. And it might be for you, I got to get through 7 no's before I get a yes. I've got to get through 12 no's before I get to a yes. And so you start collecting names, collecting numbers, and you're like, I've got to get through 18 no's, and then I'm going to get a yes. And so it's just a matter of making those lists and working them and getting through. But I guarantee, if you get through, if you figure out how you're going to aim, how you're going to record, how you're going to measure, and how you're going to keep it in front of you, you will get more done this year than you have in the past. Hey, I would love to see your system. You can email it to me, carl.bastian@kidology.org. That's my personal email. I would love to see a picture of your notebook or your system, or just tell me what software you use. I'll share with you a picture of mine in return. And let's get more done this year. It'd be fantastic. In conclusion, I just want to give you an encouragement. Just remember that you are not your ministry. Your ministry is something that you do, all right? It's your service for the Lord. You do your best, but at the end of the day, it's who you are that matters most. So in all your interactions, whether it's with leaders or volunteers or parents or kids, in your family. Don't worry about what people think of your ministry. Sometimes when people criticize our ministry, we take it personally. But you need to remember that has no impact on who you are. Your ministry could be in flames. It's no reflection of you as a person. When you stand before God someday, He's not going to be evaluating your ministry. You'll be standing before Him only for who you are. So focus on being the best that you can be in your relationships. Yes, you do your best in your ministry. You're a steward of that ministry, but it is second to your walk with God. So never neglect the things that matter most. Remember, His burden is light and His yoke is easy. When it isn't, you're probably doing more than He's asking. All right? Catch you next time on Kidman Talk.